Hello, welcome to the Grace Life Podcast. The message you're about to hear, if diligently applied, will absolutely change your life. We're praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, thereby allowing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Now let's join the service already in progress with Pastor West.
I'm going to sing a solo. Solo. There you go. Solo. Solo. We're going to watch Andrew tonight. He's teaching something. Have y'all watched him any this week or last week? There's something he's teaching. There's no way to perfect it. So I thought, why would I even try to? So I'm kind of skipping. This is his second week. You know, a lot of times we teach a series, they're at least 2 weeks, sometimes three or four. And some of y'all may have already had this book or went through the curriculum, but it's the last 2 weeks, and I think he's on his last week. Well, it may not be his last week, I don't know, but it's the second week. So it's how to find, how to follow, and how to fulfill the call of God on your life. The part that he's teaching now, so this is not where he started, because he started Monday a week ago. So this is his, once again, his second week. But the part that he's teaching tonight is so important for anyone. It's not just for people who's in ministry, because we're all in ministry. But in the sense of, I know this because we've met some Charis Bible School graduates in a meeting we was in about a year or so ago. And if you go to his Bible school, you have to know what is relevant about, what is it, May 23rd, 1968, where he had an experience with God. So you have to know that he had the experience. If you go to his Bible school, you have to know what happened in the experience, and you have to know the lesson behind it, because he thinks it's so foundational to anything you're going to do in life. That and so he's covering one of the main key points. I don't think it's nothing someone's going to say, really, but maybe it's a bigger deal than what we know. And anyway, it's simple, but it's really, really good. And so if someone will cut off the lights on the front, we don't have popcorn tonight. The butter machine went down. So anyway, this is, we're going to not show the whole, because he's, you know, his broadcast 30 minutes, but we're going to take commercials out and that kind of stuff best we can. Then we're going to, this will be 20-something minutes, and we'll go to this was Monday of this week, and then I'm skipping Tuesday, which was fine, and then this is today's, the second will be what view today. So if you're interested in this, and if you have a phone or a computer or anything, smartphone, dumb phone, any kind of phone, you can just go to his ministry and go to the TV part, and you can watch the whole 2 weeks. It's really good.
I'm going to be sharing some things from the life of Moses, how he knew God's will for his life, but he blew it. He blew it big time. Cost him 40 years in the wilderness because he didn't follow God's way of doing it. And then it's one thing, even if you find and start following God's will, there's not very many people that finish their course well. There's so many things that Satan does along the way to try and derail us from fulfilling God's will. So it's important to not only find, follow, but also to fulfill God's will. And so I've got a total of 15 separate teachings in these three albums, and we've combined them all into one book here, and I'm going to give kind of the abbreviated Cliff Notes version of this. But I encourage you to please get all of this, either the CDs, the DVDs, the book. I've got it in Spanish, and then I've got three study guides that are specifically designed to help you teach other people. And then we also have this DVD that on my program last Friday, I played Dottie Heyman's story about a woman who's found God's will for her life and how she's following it and fulfilling it. And I tell you, it's just powerful. All of this material would bless you. Even if you see the programs, you need to go back over this. God's will is not static. It's not like you just seek God one time and learn what His will is and that's it. No, you have to stay in relationship with Him and learn how to follow Him closely. And that's what we're talking about. So back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are the key scriptures that God used to open the door to His will in my life. And this is what turned everything around, March the 23rd, 1968. It says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For around 18 months, I had been crying out, God, what is your will for my life? And when I saw that this is how you prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, I just zeroed in on this. And for 4 months, I meditated on these two verses. And here's some of the things that the Lord taught me, that He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. And that's our reasonable service. This isn't just for somebody else. This isn't for the full-time clergy. This is for every born-again believer. Jesus died for you, and He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to be totally consumed with Him. And I know that as I say this, there are vast numbers of people all around the world that you know what I'm saying. You probably don't disagree with it, but you don't want to do it. You're afraid that if you make a total commitment to God, He's going to take away every dream, every hope you've got. That's what I was talking about last Friday, and I used this Dottie Heyman as an example. That whatever God wants you to do, that's what you were created for. It's what makes you tick. You will be more fulfilled, more happy, more blessed following God than you ever would doing your own thing. You know, when the Lord finally called me into the ministry, now He touched my life March the 23rd, 1968, and I made myself a living sacrifice that night. But I didn't know exactly how He wanted me to serve Him, and it took a number of years, 4 or 5 years, before I honed in on exactly how He wanted me to serve Him. But, you know, after I got back from Vietnam, I got a job working in the Arlington, Texas public school system, and I delivered films to the schools, and I edited them and did things. And anyway, the boss there, he liked me, thought I did a good job, and he offered me a job that even had retirement benefits. Now, this is like when I was 22, 23 years old, and he was offering me a job that would have been a lot of money, and for a guy who was a college dropout, it was really a good position. It would have been a lot of money. It could have moved into something else, and he even offered me retirement stuff. It looked like that this was just great in the natural. But in my heart, I just knew that God had something else for me. And this is when He had called me to go into ministry, and I couldn't take it. My mother, a lot of people told me that you are absolutely crazy. You are never going to get another opportunity like this. But you know what? I just said, it's not my own decision. I'm a living sacrifice. God has shown me that He doesn't want me working in the Arlington public school system. That's not God's will for my life. And even though it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and people said, you'll never get another one like this, you know, I turned it down and I followed the Lord. And because of my own stupidity, not God, but because of my own stupidity, when I got married the next year, my wife and I, we struggled and we went through some poverty because of my own stupidity, not God's. But now I look at what God has done about the blessings of God. And I could name a lot of things. I'm not going to do it. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying that God has been faithful. God has done all of these things. And I look back at what was offered me at the time. It looked like I was walking away from the best deal I'd ever get. But did you know, I look back and that is nothing. That would have been the worst deal I ever made in my life if I'd have accepted that. What God has given me now is infinitely greater. I mean, I am so much more blessed. There's not even any comparison. And some of you right now, may be in a situation where you're afraid that if you make yourself a living sacrifice, what is God going to do? I can guarantee you God will bless you more accidentally than you've ever thought of blessing yourself on purpose in the past. By the mercies of God, because it's good for you, because of His goodness. I'm telling you, you need to make a living sacrifice. You need to become a living sacrifice unto God. You know, when I was reading these verses, I began to see these things that I'm telling you, and I began to recognize that, God, I just need to run up the white flag. I need to make an unconditional, absolute surrender to You. And I didn't know exactly where that was going to lead me, but I was convinced that this is what the Lord was saying right here. And let me share this with you. This is something that totally changed things around, because for 18 months, I'd been saying, God, what vocation do You want me to have? You know, everybody in my family was a teacher. My father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my in-laws, my outlaws, aunts, and all but one uncle were teachers. I mean, that's what you did in our family. We were all teachers. And I was moving that direction. I was in my first year of college, and I was taking courses towards that, but I didn't know that that's what God wanted me to do. I was just doing it because I had to do something, and that's what everybody else in my family did. And so I was praying about, what do You want me to do? Do You want me to be a teacher? Do You want me to do something else? My whole focus was on doing, on a vocation. God, what vocation do You want me to have? And here's one of the most important things that God spoke to me through this, and this applies to every single person watching this program right now. God spoke to me through this, that what His will for me was to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. That's God's will for me and for you. And then how He uses me is a secondary thing. Now that is profound. When I saw this, it rattled my cage. It just totally unraveled everything, because I was basically kind of living my own life, doing my own thing. I was a Christian. I loved God. I was leading people to the Lord. I went out on Tuesday night visitation. I was doing some things, but basically my life was my life. It was up to me to pick and choose what I wanted to do, and I knew that God needed to be a part of it, and so I did go to church, and I studied the Bible, and I led people to the Lord. I went on visitation. I did some things, but my life, nobody could have said that I was totally committed to God. I was a Christian that was serving God to a degree, probably more than some people. But man, I wasn't a living sacrifice. I hadn't given everything to God. I couldn't say that Jesus was absolutely in control of everything. Now, even since that decision, I can't say I do everything perfect, but I can say that that's my desire. This is the commitment I made, and I'm still growing, and there's things that I do that don't please God. But as soon as I recognize that I'm doing that, I change. I mean, my desire for over 50 years has been to be completely, totally surrendered to God. But prior to that time, I was a Christian. I was living a relatively good life, but I wasn't completely committed to God. And I know that there's people watching this program that that's exactly where you are. You love God. Other people may look at you and think, well, you've been a blessing to me and you've helped and you're doing good things. I'm not saying you're a bad person. But there's people watching this program that you wouldn't even make the claim that you are a living sacrifice, that you are totally committed to God. You think that that's for the clergy, for somebody else. But this is your reasonable service. And God spoke to me and said, this is His will for me and for every person, is to be completely committed to Him. And if He gets your total heart, then I can guarantee you He'll get your service. You don't give God just a little bit of service and say, God, is this enough? Will this satisfy You? God's not after your service. He's after your heart. God wants you first. You know, over in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing and encouraging people to give, and he says, do it the way that these people in Macedonia did. They didn't just give their money, but they first of all gave themselves unto God and asked that they could be accepted with God, and then they gave their money. God is more concerned about your heart than He is about your money, than He is about your service, about anything else. Now, I am not saying that God doesn't want you to give. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to serve and do things. We need to be obeying God and following His directions. But God wants you more than He wants your service. If God gets your heart, and if you truly give your heart to God, I can guarantee you that God will get your service. He will lead you, and you will start being fulfilled and productive. But see, there's so many people, it's like a ladder. There's rungs on the ladder. They want to get to the top of the ladder, but they don't want to take this bottom step and these other steps. They just want to jump straight to the top. That's not how it works. You have to start on that bottom rung. The first step in finding God's will is to be a living sacrifice. I can guarantee you that if you become a living sacrifice and give yourself 100% to God, it is absolutely impossible for you to miss the vocation and the physical, natural things that God wants you to do. It's impossible. You can't do it. But on the other hand, there are some people that, you know, because of their gifts and talents, they may stumble into some of the things that God has for them. But if He doesn't have your heart, if you haven't become a living sacrifice, even if you stumble across God's will for your life and were to somehow know that He created you to do a certain thing, chances are you aren't going to fulfill it. You might find it, you might start in that direction, but you won't finish your course because we've got an enemy that's coming against us and he is throwing everything he's got at you. He's as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And if you aren't a living sacrifice and completely committed to him, chances are you are going to get destroyed along the way. You aren't going to make it to the desired end because there's just going to be supernatural opposition. In some ways, when you make a living sacrifice of yourself and you start fulfilling God's will, there's actually more opposition against you than there is a person who doesn't know the Lord. Because, you know, Satan's got that person and he's going to try and keep them happy so that they don't have this hunger and this desire recognizing that there's something missing. He's going to try and numb you and make you feel as good because he doesn't want you to ever get this feeling that there must be something more. So he will, in a sense, bypass some of the people that aren't committed to God. But when you make a commitment to God, you just got a big old target on your back. Satan is going to come against you because he knows that if he doesn't derail you and slow you down, his kingdom is going to suffer because God will fulfill his will through your life. So there is going to be opposition. And unless you are a living sacrifice, if you don't do it God's way, if you somehow or another try and jump to the top of the ladder and don't start on the bottom rung and work your way up, Satan is going to be able to destroy you along the way and you won't see the fulfillment of what God wants. The first step is to be a living sacrifice. That's God's will. Now, how He uses you once you're a living sacrifice, In a way, I can say that is God's will. I can say that it's God's will for me to be a minister. It's God's will for me to be on television. It's God's will for me to have a Bible school. It's God's will for me to try. All of those things are God's will, yes. But technically speaking, God's will isn't for me to be a minister. God's will is for me to be a living sacrifice and to have a relationship with Him and to know God and be close to God. That is God's will for my life. And once I did that, and I'm still in the process of doing it, well, then He has chosen to use me to minister and to build a Bible college and to be on television and to do things. But those are secondary things. And see, if you don't understand this, then your whole life becomes these physical, natural things. Anything that's in the natural realm can be affected by the devil. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says we are looking at things that can't be seen because everything that can be seen is temporal or temporary, but everything that cannot be seen is eternal. When you find your place in God and you become a living sacrifice, that's something that can't necessarily be seen. Other people can't see what's going on in your heart between you and God. But when you get that, that is something that's eternal. But when you are focused on just a vocation, if my whole life was about preaching, I can guarantee you I would have quit a long time ago because there was probably 10 years after God called me into the ministry that, I mean, people stayed away from my churches and my meetings by the thousands. Matter of fact, I had many people, relatives and people who loved me and people who meant well, come to me and say, "You've missed it. You couldn't be called into the ministry. There's no evidence. You don't have anybody coming. Nobody listens to you. There wasn't any money. Jamie and I were struggling. We were so poor we couldn't pay attention. And everybody was just telling us, there is no way you're called into the ministry. And if my focus would have been on being a preacher and being in the ministry, I would have quit because it wasn't working. But my focus wasn't on that. My whole life was about being a living sacrifice. It was having a relationship with God. And God was keeping me encouraged, and God was ministering to me when there was nothing in the natural that confirmed it. And God kept me going. And every time I'd look at what was happening in the natural and see that things didn't look good, I'd go back to my relationship with the Lord, and He'd keep telling me, you're on track. Just keep doing what I've told you to do. And if my focus would have been on what He wanted me to do instead of what He wanted me to be, then I would have quit along the way. And I think that there's a lot of people that this is what has happened. God, what do you want me to do? And it's all about doing. God called you to be a human being, not a human doing. If you would be a human being, if you would have a relationship with God and just recognize that God loves you more than He loves what you can do for Him. Now, He also wants you to serve Him, but He loves you first and foremost. And if you could get that in, if you could get into this intimate relationship with God to where you feel God's pleasure completely separate from your performance, completely separate from what job you have, completely separate from whether your church is big or small or whether things in the natural are looking good. And if your relationship with God, this living sacrifice relationship, if that's what the focus was, it would sustain you through any hardship, any downturns, any problems that you experience. And I can guarantee you, you will have some negative things. Again, if you start seeking God's will, Satan is going to come against you. He comes immediately to steal away the word that's been sown in your heart. And you are going to have opposition. And if you bypass this relationship, this living sacrifice relationship, and instead you're focused on doing something and you're getting all of your ego and your sense of accomplishment from what you're doing, then see, that's in the physical realm. It's subject to change. It's temporal. It's temporary. You know, God has blessed me, and we've built now over like $75 million worth of buildings up in Woodland Park at our Bible college, and there's much more that we're doing. And I praise God for that. I'm blessed by it. But you know what? That's not my focus. And I pray over it. I believe we're protected. I believe we aren't having any tornadoes. I believe we aren't having any earthquakes. I believe there's no fires. I'm praying over it, and I'm not speaking negative, but I am saying that if something did happen, and if I lost everything physical that I've got, my life would still be on track, because it's not about the things that I've got. It's not about what I see. It's about my personal relationship with the Lord. And if you get this out of order, and if somehow or another you discover what God's will is and you start accomplishing things in the natural, but if you don't have the depth of relationship with the Lord, you aren't going to have the strength and the stability to be able to stand through all of the attacks of the devil, and you're going to wind up losing everything. I'm telling you, this is God's system, is first of all to be a living sacrifice, and then secondly to experience the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. And if you ever get that out of order, and if you get more concerned about, God, what do you want me to do, than you are about, God, what do you want me to be, then you're opening yourself up to heartache and problems. This is God's system. And it takes a while. You know, there's people that actually came to me. I could call names right now, and every person watching this program would know exactly who I'm talking about. They're much more famous than me. When they started their ministry, they came to me and asked how to get started. And I gave them advice on how to go on radio and how to do things. And then, man, they just passed me up like I was going in reverse. And you know what? It took a long time with me. But I can tell you that where I am now and anything that God has done in my life and anything that He's leading me to do, I've got the stability to be able to handle it because I just waited on God, and I didn't kick the doors open. I wasn't focused on accomplishing this and doing this. It was just all about relationship with the Lord. And God has developed me over the years, and I believe I can sustain and do anything God calls me to do. I have a supernatural confidence because of this living sacrifice relationship. Man, this is powerful. And there are some people watching this that right now, you're so goal-oriented. You're so focused on accomplishing it. You're looking at things in the natural that are all temporary. They're temporal. They're subject to change. Your focus is on these physical things. Satan can affect that. Your focus should be on your relationship with the Lord. You just should be loving God and seeking God. And if you put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these things will be added unto you. It's impossible for you to miss the vocation, the direction, the things that God wants you to do if, first of all, you become a living sacrifice. Today I'm in the middle of my second week of teaching on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. And I tell you, this is powerful. It just blesses me. This is what turned my life around. And I really believe that there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people watching these programs, that this is just God speaking to you, and this is going to make a huge difference in your life. It was my desire to know God's will for my life that led me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I've been teaching on this for quite a few days. I'm just going to mention this, but man, I could teach on this for days more because it's so powerful. But Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That last phrase about the perfect will of God, that's what I was wanting. And when I saw this, I just backtracked and says, all right, God, what do I have to do to prove this good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? And the Lord spoke to me that the first step, and really the most important step, in finding the will of God is to be a living sacrifice. That's God's will for my life, for your life. And how He uses you, what vocation you have, the things that you do are byproducts of your personal relationship with God. If for some reason you try and accomplish God's will for your life without having the depth of a relationship that Romans 12, 1 is describing, you will either fail or you'll misrepresent God. It is not going to work. The God's will and the way it should be done is that you become a living sacrifice. And if you do that, you would literally have to backslide on God. You'd have to rebel at God to keep from fulfilling His perfect will. But if you sidestep, bypass this first step, and somehow or another find God's will for your life and try and accomplish it in your own strength, you're either going to fail, you're going to misrepresent God, or Satan is going to defeat you along the way because he will come to steal the word that God has planted in your heart. There's just no other way to do this correctly except to become a living sacrifice first. And that's not just a one-time deal. It starts with a one-time decision, but it's a process, and many people are just not patient and they won't allow the process to happen. You know, the Lord spoke to me in 1968, and that's when He spoke to me about being a living sacrifice, and that was my focus, and I pastored three little churches over 6 years. I did a lot of things. I went on radio. I started traveling, and I had been in ministry for 31 years when the Lord spoke to me on July the 26th, 1999, and it's a long story. I won't go into the whole thing, but He says, your time has come. And I woke up in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, and I started praying, my time for what has come? And the Lord spoke to me that if I would have died before I started television, January the 3rd of 2000, and if I would have died before I started that, then I would have missed God's will for my life. I was just beginning into the ministry. After 31 years of being in the ministry, I was just actually starting what God called me to do. And anyway, I could spend all of this program talking about that, but in a nutshell, He was just saying it took me that long to become a living sacrifice. Now, I made the decision March the 23rd, and I moved in that direction, and all of that time wasn't wasted, but it was God preparing me, and facts have proven out that, I mean, our whole ministry just exploded and took off in January of 2000 when I started on television, and things have changed dramatically. But there's this process, and most people want to bypass that process and go straight to it. If the Lord had somehow or another allowed me to go on television without being a living sacrifice and going through those 32 years worth of preparation. And if I had somehow or another bypassed that and got on television, and the Lord would have told me what He wanted me to do, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish it. I would have failed miserably. It would have destroyed me. It would have terrified me, and on and on. I'm telling you, this is God's system. And the reason that some of you watching this program, you have a desire to be used to God, you want to do something, you know God has given you some direction. But one of the reasons that you aren't seeing it come to pass is because you aren't a living sacrifice. And like I said, on yesterday's program, I was praying, oh God, use me, oh God, use me. And He said, I'll use you as soon as you get usable. He told me, quit praying, use me, and instead make yourself usable, become a living sacrifice. And that changed my whole life. It's now been, 40-something years since I've prayed, oh God, use me. What I've been praying is, oh God, make me usable. God wants to use you more than you want to be used. The moment you become usable, He will use you. It's like people building a plane or a ship. You don't build them so that they can just sit in dry dock or sit on the runway and never fly. You build a plane so it'll fly. You build a ship so it can go out to sea. If you will allow God to build you and to make the things that He needs to do in your life, God wants to use you more than you want to be used. And the moment you get seaworthy, He'll launch you. The moment you get to where you can fly, He'll fly you. Amen. Man, that's powerful. I know I'm speaking to some people who you're frustrated and you're trying to microwave your ministry and make things come to pass quicker. Your only focus ought to be, God, I want to be a living sacrifice. And then you just renew your mind, study the Word, change the way you think, and then let God be the one who opens the doors and makes things come to pass. And I tell you, that's the order that it should be in. So those are things we've already much pretty covered. And then verse 2, here's the second thing. After you become a living sacrifice, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you not be conformed to this world? The word conform there means to pour into the mold of. In other words, it's, you know, when I was in the Army, I remember that the day that we all got our orders to Vietnam, and most of us, you know, I was 19 years old. I think I was 20 by the time I finally got my orders. And we were 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and we got orders to go to Vietnam. And some of these kids were crying. I mean, they were just devastated. They knew that they were going to die, and many of them probably did. And so anyway, it was a hard time. And they called the chaplain in because there was guys sitting there crying over their orders to go to Vietnam. And they called the chaplain in, and the chaplain said a lot of things. But here's the thing that stuck with me. He says, the army is a fire, and it'll melt you. He says, you can't go through the army and come out the other side the same. You are going to be melted, but you get to pick what mold you fit into. And man, that was God speaking through that chaplain to me. And I said, I'm going to come out of this better. I'm going to come out more committed to God. I'm going to come out stronger. And that's what this is talking about. Don't be conformed. Don't be poured into the mold of this world. You know, when you came into this world, you were innocent. You didn't have all of this stuff. But you can't go through life. You can't live 60, 70, 80, however many years, and leave this world as innocent and pure as you were when you came in. Life is going to melt you. You are going to be melted, but you get to pick what mold you fit into. This is saying don't fit into the mold of this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the Greek word for transformed there is the Greek word metamorpho. It's the word we get metamorphosis from. In other words, in the same way that a caterpillar spins a cocoon and then comes out a butterfly, something that was earthbound, and many times these caterpillars are ugly, it changes, morphs, transforms into a beautiful butterfly that can fly. If you want that kind of transformation, it happens by the renewing of your mind. There's people, again, praying, oh God, change me. Oh God, change my situation. But you aren't changing your mind. It says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Your life is going the direction of your dominant thoughts. If you want change, you don't just pray for change. What you do is change your thoughts, change your focus. Quit thinking the way that you were thinking, and when you do that, everything else will change. You know, I just got through reading the book of Nicole Marbach. She's a friend of mine. We've got a story that we did on her. She was an alcoholic. She had bipolar disease, PTSD, ADD. She had, just all kinds of problems, self-injury. She actually took a razor blade and cut in her stomach. I hate me. And she would cut her wrist and just terrible, terrible things. And anyway, it's a long story. I'm condensing it. You need to get the book yourself, Nicole Marbach Ministries. But anyway, in a nutshell, she was the way she had problems from childhood. Terrible things happened to her. But then when she went to get help, they said, "You're bipolar. You're depressed." They started putting these things on her. And in her mind, she saw herself as a failure, as an alcoholic, as all of these things. And she went through everything. She went through detox programs. She went through psychiatric wards. She was on heavy medication. She did everything in the natural that you could do. And it was just getting worse and worse. She was spiraling out of control. And finally, one of her friends told her that this is not who you are, and began to start speaking about what she saw that God's purpose for Nicole was. And then she made this statement that this is just the devil coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. And you know what happened? There's multiple things. This is oversimplification, but Nicole changed the way she thought. She changed the way she saw herself. She saw that I am not incurable. Bipolar is not incurable. That this is the devil. It's not just physical. It's not just natural. Nicole changed the way she thought, and I mean, boom! Like that, her life changed. Now, it took a time to work through some things, but I mean, there was instantaneous deliverance change. And today, Nicole is out ministering, has her own place in the Chicago area, and is just a blessing to people. But see, she wanted the change, but she wasn't going to change the way she thought. She thought, "I am bipolar. I am an alcoholic. I am a failure. I do injure myself." And that was her identity. That's the way she saw herself. It's the way she thought. And as long as she thought that way, she could pray for change, but it wasn't ever going to happen until you change the way you think. And then somebody spoke life into her. And when she started receiving that and changed the way she thought, then everything on the outside changed. There are some of you, you may not be in as bad a shape as Nicole was, but you know what? You see yourself a certain way and you think a certain way, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see yourself as a failure. You're a loser. That's who you think you are. And you're praying that everything will change, but you haven't changed the way you think. This says you get transformed like a caterpillar comes out of this beautiful butterfly. If you want that kind of transformation from something that's earthbound, creepy, crawly, to something that's beautiful, that flies, if you want transformation, it comes by the renewing of your mind. I think it was Einstein that said it is a definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. If you keep thinking the same way, you're going to get the same results. So you have to become a living sacrifice, be totally committed to God, and then you have to renew your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the number one thing, I don't believe it's the only thing, but by far, I mean the vast majority, the most important thing you will ever do to be transformed and renew your mind is to study the Word of God. The Word of God is absolutely contrary to this culture and the ungodliness that is in our culture today. And most people watching this, of course, we got people all around the world watching it. So we've got people in China and in South America and India and Africa and all across Europe and Russia and And anyway, you're in all of these different cultures, and all of us like to think that, no, I'm just an individual. I'm not influenced by my culture. But that's just not true. We have all been influenced by our culture. We are all influenced by the world more than we want to realize. And I'm guaranteeing you the vast majority of the influence that we've had on us is not godly. Our life is going the way of our dominant thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That doesn't say that carnal mindedness just leads towards death. No, it's like an equation. Carnal mindedness equals death, but spiritual mindedness equals life and peace. You know, if you planted a garden, I don't have to be there when you plant the garden to see what you planted. All I got to do is see what's growing in your garden, and I can tell you what you planted because you only get what you plant. The only exception to that is somebody else might have planted something in your garden, but you didn't protect it. You allowed something to be planted there. But whatever's growing in your garden, somebody planted it there. And it's the same thing in your life. If you've got death, I don't have to follow you around, but if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're sick, if you're poor, if you're bitter, if you're full of unforgiveness, if you're all of these things, I can guarantee you, you have not been thinking on the Word of God. You have been carnally minded. The word carnal here doesn't mean sinful. Now, all sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. The word carnal is just talking about natural, just physical. Of the five senses, if you are dominated by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, if you're just a natural man or a woman, you don't have to be a sinful person, you don't have to be hating God, but just be normal, just be natural. That produces death. The carnal mind produces death. You know, you may think, well, I didn't want cancer. You didn't pray and ask God for cancer, but you were thinking, I'm only human. And you know, this is something that happens to people. Oh, I hope I don't get it. And then if the doctor tells you you got cancer, you just fall apart like a $2 suitcase. You start praying, oh God, please help me. And you wonder, how did this happen? Because you were carnally minded. You were thinking you were only human. When the Bible says 1/3 of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, when the Bible says that no plague will come nigh your dwelling, only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. There's a lot of Christians that experience sickness and disease and poverty and problems, and they think, I didn't ask for this. Well, you didn't pray for it, but you didn't take the Word of God and get transformed to where you could stand and believe and refuse to allow those things to come to you. And I know that there's lots of people watching this program saying, so you're saying that a Christian doesn't have to be sick. Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. And there's a lot of people that don't like this, and you're going to reject me. I just heard television sets all around the world changing channels. People don't like what I'm saying right now because you're saying that, well, you don't have to go through all of these things. The Bible says you don't. Psalms chapter 91, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. Only with my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked, that no sickness, no disease. God said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. By His stripes we were healed. We've got all of these promises, but there's plenty of Christians who are sick, and it's not because they're bad people, but they are carnal. They're just looking at things, I'm only human. Well, I'm not only human. 1/3 of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. I have a potential to where I can live above these things. Now, God loves me. He loves you. And if for some reason you're struggling in one of these areas, God loves you and I love you, but I love you enough that I'm going to tell you, you don't have to stay that way. This isn't God's will. God wants you to succeed. And see, if you're rejecting what I'm saying right here and saying, no, I don't believe that we have to live with sickness, with poverty, with depression, with hurt, with pain, it's just not what you are carnal. To be carnally minded equals death. You're going to experience all of these problems. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's spiritually minded? John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus says, and it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you want to be spiritually minded, you've got to be word minded. You've got to think according to the Word of God. You know, I was just teaching in our Bible school yesterday from the book of Proverbs. And there are many scriptures in the book of Proverbs that talk about things like a merry heart does good like a medicine, that it'll be health to all of your flesh and marrow to your bones. And it's talking about spiritual things producing physical health. But see, our carnal thinking, the way that the world thinks, everything to do with your health is absolutely organic. It has to do with your diet and exercise, chemicals or something like that. And that's a part of it. And I don't have a scripture that says what part each is, but I believe that most people, even most Christians, believe 90-100% of your health is diet and exercise. And they just obsess in that area. I don't have a scripture that gives me this percentage, but it's my opinion that it's like 10% or 20% of your health maximum is based on diet and exercise. But a merry heart does good like a medicine. Honoring your father and mother will extend your life. Casting your cares over on the Lord. Walking in joy and peace and on and on. These things, see, are a big influence. The reason I bring all this up is to say that, see, the carnal way of thinking is that it's all about my diet and exercise. That's a portion of it, but in my opinion, a small portion. Scripture teaches that your attitude, your joy, has an effect on your body. Honoring your parents has an effect on your body. Living a moral, godly life has an effect on your body. But see, most people don't think that way. They're thinking carnally, and what that does is equal death. But when you think spiritually minded, when you take the Word of God, like these things in Proverbs, and you begin to think according to the Word, it affects your body and it produces life and peace. And so the renewing of your mind is the most important thing you can do. It's not the only thing you can do, but if you renew your mind and God starts showing you things, it will change the way you eat and the way you exercise. And that's a portion of it. But I'm telling you that there's people that don't even realize how much we've been influenced by our culture. We have so many carnal ways of thinking, and we're praying for change, but we aren't changing our thinking. We are letting our culture influence us. We are more motivated by what the news has to say, by what the surveys have to say, what the polls have to say, than we are by what God has to say. And because of it, it's producing death. If you want to be transformed, you do it by the renewing of your mind. The most important thing you will ever do is to renew your mind according to the Word of God. And sad to say, that's one of the least important things in most people's lives. Most people would rather be entertained. They would rather do something except renew their mind. But this is where it's at. The Word of God is like a seed. It's an incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. And you plant it in your heart, it'll just change you effortlessly. I've got an entire teaching on that, effortless change, talking about how powerful the Word of God is and how it'll change it. But this is what Romans 12:1-2 is saying. You first of all become a living sacrifice, but then you've got to renew your mind. Because even if you are committed to God and are willing to do anything, if you don't have the truth of the Word of God, Satan is going to kill, steal, and destroy. You've got to renew your mind by the Word of God. You know, I've got this book entitled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will that'll go into all the things I've talked about today. I've got it in Spanish. I've got 3 workbooks that will cover the same material. And then I've got CDs and DVDs. I've got 3 sets of CDs, 3 sets of DVDs, and we've also got a Destiny Stories DVD with testimonies of people who have found God's will, and it will inspire you. So our announcer is going to give you all of this material, all of this information about the material, and I encourage you to listen and then please.
Thing. It's good, isn't it? You know, the first part, we probably in our circles here hear more about the second part, about renewing your mind, which is vital and important, but not so much about the yielding part. And then sometimes we do the definition on yield. Say, well, I am yielded. Okay. Sometimes when you walk a little bit longer down the road, or you walk another day or two, and you come into a situation, and all of a sudden, when you're renewing your mind, and you see sometimes they, well, I'm sure everyone's done this. The more of the Word that you see, the more you see who He is, and the more you see who you are in Him. Then you come into a situation to match that, and then all of a sudden, that's how you know your mind's being renewed. This is the way I used to approach this. This is how I used to, in this situation, this is how I would respond to it. And all of a sudden that you change. And all of a sudden you handle it differently. In other words, now you got His mind and you got His perspective on it. And when you do that, you see, you've yielded yourself and your life to Him. Isn't it interesting in the, for believers, not at the end days, when we're all to in the place of judgment, that He said that He will take all of our works and they'll have to be channeled through a fire. And anything that's not pure, in other words, you might have did some good things. Remember the guy said, well, didn't we cast out devils in your name? And didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we feed people in your name and all that? And he said, I never knew you. Get away from me. You think, well, how could that be? See, it all comes down to motive. It all comes down to purpose. It all comes down to being a yielded vessel unto Him. And only God knows the heart of individuals. Only He knows what they do and what they think. But more than that, He knows why they're doing it and why they're thinking what they're thinking. And when we come to the place to where, you know, we're just, Moses didn't make a lot of mistakes. And he got on the backside of the desert. But God can fix mistakes. So he just started at 80. He rebooted him at 80. But he found him at a place to where Moses didn't care anymore. He said, I don't want to go over there anymore. He says, that was a long time ago. Send somebody else. Now I'm sending you. And so we're never too late to do and to be what God always intended for us to do and to be. So I think it was important what he was saying there is not, God's not looking for what you can do for him. He's looking for you. He doesn't want your service as much as he just wants you. And I won't get into Matt's thing. But he was sharing with us a testimony of things that he and his family went through personally years ago and how he was struggling with a situation of where he found himself in and how he was having to deal with that and the struggle he was going through. And he shared it, and I won't get into that tonight. But the answer was the Lord told him to the effect of, all you have to do to please me is be my son. This is the God of the universe. All that requires me and you being pleasing to me is you just be my son. And that's cast into all of your care. All of it. There's a lot of things that hasn't worked out in my life like the way I thought they should have or could have. Or when they should have. And I'm assuming if that's true with me, it's got to be true with you. Is there some things that if you was God tonight, you would change something? If you was God tonight, is there a person or two that you might could think of if you thought long enough, you'd change them? It's like, gone! Well, that's why we're not Him. So, it is a process. And there's no shame in it. I mean, did you hear what he said? I've been doing this 31 years. 31 years. And God said, if you'd have died yesterday, you would have never fulfilled your purpose on life because you were supposed to be on TV and you're supposed to have a Bible school. And he was already doing major things. But 31 years. Now, I think with this television network, there's how many people's on the earth? 7 billion, 27 and 8. I think I heard him say sometime last year that with his increased coverage of TV now, and you know, and Andrew doesn't look like a TV personality to me, does he? You? He's just, I'm real excited. I'm fired up. Hallelujah. But you can sense the anointing when he's teaching. You can sense that he's reaching everyday people. It's real easy to connect with him. At first, I didn't listen to him because I was like, get happy. do something. So I'd read his books because he was a really great author. He's a great author. And then I had to learn to like him actually through the books before I could watch him on TV and not go, oh, have some emotion. He said, but what you don't know is I'm jumping up and down inside. I said, okay, well, if you say you are. But through that transformation, about 31 years, I think he said his daily television network reaches somewhere between 1.5 and 2 billion people a day. So 2000, if he'd have died, 1999, if he'd have died, he would have missed the will of God for his life. 18 years, he daily speaks to 25% of the earth. The earth. And this is not the coverage it goes to. These are the people that they can say that this is how many people has turned your program on. Let's not include someone who might have just walked by something, turned it on in their home, or it's on in the prison, or it's on in the hospital, or it's on whatever, somewhere on the earth. God can take you where you need to go. And so it becomes that big part. He said to do the good, the perfect, the acceptable will of God, the first stage of that is to become a living sacrifice. And if one of the things that I think all of us can challenge us the most is when we make decisions and choices about our own self and families and lives, is, you know, and then question ourselves, what is my purpose for doing this? Why am I doing this? Why did I do that? Was I looking for attention? Am I looking to be recognized? That's one thing for a kid. You know, kids are always looking for attention. But so are adults. They didn't say this about me, or they didn't say that about me. You know, I was kidding with Brother Cloud here Sunday because he has his doctorate of divinity. And he said, don't call me that. He said, that was my purpose of study, not to say that I'm Dr. Kim Clout. But I know ministers personally who are very offended if you don't call them by the initials in front of their name. You know, PhD, I'm a PhD, I'm a post hole digger. I mean, no, I'm not just a, you know, you ever met someone like that? You know, it doesn't have to be in a ministry, but they're offended if you don't give them their full, you know, and roll out the red carpet. Well, when we get to heaven, no one's going to be. I was laughing with my mom last year. She said, it was Thanksgiving, and she said, you live on earth so long that you just think earth thoughts. And it was Thanksgiving time and her favorite holiday, and I guess mine too. And she said, what do you think your dad's eating for Thanksgiving today? And I said, I don't know, but I don't think they're doing Thanksgiving. What? I said, I don't think they're doing Thanksgiving, Mom. I said, I don't think heaven takes a back seat. The Lord does so we can celebrate American holiday in heaven. She said, so they're not doing turkey. I said, whatever it is, it's awesome. But I don't think that God comes off the throne for the day to come back. And as Kim said, rejoice for the guy who found the Indians, the Native Americans. He discovered them instead of America. But see, that's just because we've been on earth and we think earth. Right? And I don't know if they celebrate your birthday or not. I don't even know if that starts all over because, you know, you can't say, well, they're 80. Well, they're not anymore. Right? I don't know how to keep up with that. So that'll be all fun to find out. Well, amen.